summer of 2016, Mike Person was here with us to speak for a vacation Bible school one night. And I told him after that I wanted to come back on a Sunday morning because the lesson he gave then was very much what we say a Sunday morning sermon in the sense of what the gospel is about. I said, so I want you to come back sometime and hear that exact same lesson, because if you were here that time, repetition is good. If you haven't heard before, it'd be good to hear it the first time. Just about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, the Tennessean did a lengthy article, which you may have seen, read in the paper or saw it on their website, about Mike and his wife, Lisa. Lisa has Lou Gehrig's disease, currently cannot speak, cannot swallow, cannot walk. And the article was about the way the Nashville Christian School, where Mike coaches and teaches, have done so much for them in providing funds for her to go to Thailand and do some stem cell replacement and done a lot of treatment for her. And so we are praying for her and Mike during this time. We know it's very difficult, but both of them have been great examples of Christ in this. And we just love Mike so much. He's worked with young people his whole life, and both in church work and coaching and teaching in school. And is very good friends with Joey Spann, who was shot recently. He and Joey have done so much work together. Joey, of course, shot at church not long ago. But we were blessed by his class that he gave this morning. And I know that you'll be blessed by being here today. And we're thankful we were able to work out the time for Mike to be with us again. So we're thankful for Mike. He's a member at the Woods Chapel Church in Brentwood and does great work with them as well. So, Brother Mike.
Thank you, sir.
There we go. Well, Herb, we've got good cooks in this group, so I'm excited about our lunch that we're... It's nice to have a guest speaker, no lunch. I'm sure someone's going to take me out then afterwards. Okay, not that either. Not as Christian as I thought we were out here. When James said he wanted to do the whole lesson, or it's the same lesson again, I thought... One thing I conclude from that is you didn't listen the first time. So, for those of you that did not take notes, well, no, and I do appreciate you asking me to do the same lesson. I've never been asked to do that. And what I appreciate about that is, first of all, this is the most important lesson for me that I could give, not for anybody else, just for me. And secondly, I am a big thing on repetition. I tell my players, you know, we do the same drills every day. I don't care if you're bored or not. Now, I do care in church if you're bored, but repetition, I think, is the key to learning, and so hopefully there'll be something that you'll get out of this here, we hope, anyway. So, if you stood before God today, and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? Now, a lot of people would say, maybe along with my grandson, well, I'm a good American. He'll defend our country. I appreciate that. We've instilled those values in him already. By the way, that was a toy machine gun I had when I was a kid. It's the greatest toy weapon ever. Now, and I got it. This has nothing to do with my lesson, but you know, out of the mouth of babes, when I told Mason he can have it when I die. He's welcome to it. It actually shoots those little bullets. It's a rapid-fire machine gun. They had to take it off the market, of course, because of danger. But I'm a good granddaddy, so he gets it, you know. But I said, Mason, this is the greatest toy weapon ever in America. He said, no, the greatest weapon in America is God and Jesus. Well, okay, yeah, I mean, that's for them, of course, yes. This weapon's third, actually, after God and Jesus. Mr. Spiritual there, you know. A lot of people would say that, you know, I'm an American, and I'm a good person. I'm a good citizen. Well, you know, he would say he's a good citizen in his situation. He does what he's supposed to do in his country. So when people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I don't do bad. I don't go to, I haven't been in prison. Don't, you know, sell drugs. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a communist. Well, a lot of people say, well, we've done pretty good on these. Well, let's see how well we've really done on these Ten Commandments, okay? And remember, there's a lot of sub-commands under each one of them easily. Because there's something like 600 commands in the Old Testament. Of course, I know we're not under the Old Testament precepts per se, but we are still under the moral standards that were carried over to the New Testament. Well, let's just take a look and see how we do. Now, I would hope my basketball players would make 8 out of 10 free throws. The quarterback in the NFL probably needs to make 7 out of 10 to be a good quarterback and stay first string. Baseball, in major leagues, if you hit 3 out of 10, you're going to be Hall of Famer if you do that your whole life. So let's see how we do spiritually with these. The first one here, and I'm sorry, I should have gotten a bigger pick for that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You might be thinking, well, I only believe in the one God. Well, this is talking about priorities. Have you ever made anything else a priority over God? Have you ever, one time in your life, just one time, not made God your top priority? Something else took his place, even for a moment. Well, if you have, you're 0 for 1. I'm 0 for 1 at this point. I don't know how you're doing. Maybe you glanced over that list and thought, man, I'm about 8 or 9 out of 10. I'm doing pretty good. Well, I think all of us right now are 0 for 1. We probably all, at a point in our life, God wasn't the most important thing in our life. Now, the second one is about making idols. Boy, I got that one down. Well, when they made idols, those were misrepresentations of God. Sometimes they were making idols for God. But they were worshiping Him in a way and representing Him in a form that was not accurate. Have you ever done that? You ever viewed God kind of like Santa Claus, and your prayers sound like Santa Claus' wish list? Or, see, the God I want right now is a genie or a lifeguard that I can rub the lamp and God will make my wife well. So that's the kind of God I want right now. Or maybe you've looked at God like a Nazi, that he causes birth defects and he causes ALS. He does bad things, causes bad things, doesn't care about us. Have you ever looked at God kind of like a grandparent where you get to do whatever you want at his house? You know, sometimes they'll arrest a kid on TV for something terrible, then they'll interview his grandma. Well, he's a good boy. He was in the scout. Well, he beat up the scout leader, but he's in the scout. I don't know about you. I'm 0 for 2. I have misrepresented God's nature and who he is. I've looked at it in different ways that were not biblically accurate. So I don't know about you. I'm 0 for 2. 0 for 3. The third one here before I'm 0 for 3. Yeah. Don't take God's name in vain. Now, I know we think of the big King Daddy of all cuss words, but sometimes that was about in its context, making vows in God's name and not keeping them. And for you young people, oh my God is the most used slang in America. Oh my God. Have you noticed that Muslims don't do that? They don't go, oh my Allah. Hindus don't go, oh my Vishnu. Buddhists don't go, oh my Buddha. Doesn't really sound right anyway, does it? Have you ever misused God's name in any way? Maybe it was told a joke about God that was, you weren't trying to be blasphemous, but, well, God and St. Peter were out playing golf one day. Really, God was playing golf one day, huh? Have you ever used God's name in an appropriate way? If you have, I have. I'm 0 for 3. And number 4, we're not under the Sabbath, but let's take number 4 and apply in a church situation. Remember the Sabbath? Let's take that. Remember Sunday. Have you ever skipped when you could have come? Have you ever come and daydreamed during the sermon? Passed notes when you were a kid during the prayer? Fell asleep during Mr. James' lesson? So check in. So far, we're all awake right now, James. Have you ever not talked to somebody that you should have? Have you ever been so mad at them you couldn't look at them? But you worshiped God, but you hated somebody. ever put somebody down? She should have. The Bible there says we're 0 for 4. Number 5, honor your parents. Do we need to even stop on that one? Have you ever one time in your life not honored your parents? Were you just, you've just been the joy the whole way. They never had to get on to you. Your parents never had to correct you one time. Even your diapers didn't smell. You were such a wonderful child. You came in the world, the nurses, you didn't say anything bad in the delivery room. You were just wonderful the whole way up. Number 6, and some of you are going, okay, I'm going to be 2 for 10 here. Thou shalt not kill. Well, Jesus says, if you're angry at your brother without a cause, you kill him in your heart. The Bible says, you can't say, I worship God and curse men. Have you ever bullied anybody, picked on somebody? Brothers and sisters, siblings, ever picked on your little brother or sister? Ever glad when they got picked on? Ever been like me, laugh when they get a whipping? My dad used to have to whip both of us at the same time. I'd be laughing at my brother getting a whipping. Then I'd get a whipping for that, and we were both, there was this weird mixture of laughing and crying. My dad was like a samurai swords when having to spank both of us at the same time. Just had great joy whenever he got in trouble. Chased him down the hallway one time in the house, and I hit him in the back. Hit him in the back with my fist. But I was a good kid at church. I remember he fell, and I had this warm glow come over my body. To see him in pain felt so good. I don't know about you, I'm 0 for 6. Number 7, hadn't committed adultery. Well, that's good if you haven't physically been with someone. Jesus said if you've ever lusted in your heart, so... There we go. 0 for 7 for most of us, I think. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Ever taken a dollar out of your mom's purse when you were little? Ever cheated on a quiz one time? Ever not given a full day's work for a full day's pay just one time for 1 minute? This is, I don't know about James, this is the most often committed stealing in among Christians, especially preachers. Borrowing books from someone and never get back. I've got a whole library of stuff that doesn't belong to me. I don't know whose they are. They're not mine. Yeah, I'll get that back too. I'll get that back too. Number 9, you should not bear false witness. Ever just twist the truth a little bit? I remember my first lie. I was three. At the dinner table. Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot. And I love dinner rolls. Those Pillsbury. Put the butter, if they had a little half right there, put that butter down in there. Now, you can't tell that I like bread a lot, but I'm looking forward to homemade bread for our little home there, but we're not having one. That's right, I forgot. But my mom said, Mike, did you get a roll? And I said, no, ma'am, I had one. I had it hid under the table. Now, I don't remember what happened after. I don't suppose I blacked out from the beating or what. I don't have any idea. My first time I sinned, to my knowledge, was a lie at the dinner table. Number 10, thou shalt not covet. I'm having a major problem with coveting right now. People that are older than my wife, that are in good health, I covet that. I wish I had. And I know some of that's normal. I realize that. But have you ever been dissatisfied with your lot in life? You know, I told my wife, I said, there's a couple of verses I right now I can't obey. I'm trying. Do all things without grumbling, and all things be content. I'm having a tough time with those two, right? What about you? Have you done all things without grumbling? Or have you, in every situation, always be content? Well, if you haven't, you've broken number 10. I told my wife that a few months ago. I said, I'm having trouble. I'm breaking those two constantly. And she can't talk, so she texts it back. She has a little voice app that plays what she typed in. And she typed back, you've broken a whole lot more than that. Kind of woman she is. I get preached at even with her ALS. But I don't know about you. I'm 0 for 10. And anytime we think, well, I'm doing pretty good, all we have to imagine is, what if everything you ever thought, said, or done was played right before us? Wouldn't we be a little uncomfortable? So I'm pointing all that out to say, when we talk to people about Christ, We don't just need to say, need to repent, be baptized, go to the church of Christ, be thou faithful unto death, and you shoot my lives. Okay? That's not convicting anyone. Those things are all true and important, but that doesn't convict anyone. Because I hope right now, all of you are a little convicted of your sin. You're 0 for 10 with the top 10. We need to be convicted. And I think we've got to tell people the bad news before we tell them the good news. And in all the people I've worked with and talked with, and I've been to prisons and juvenile detention and kids in addictions and Christian school kids, the toughest group to reach for Christ that's not church is the people in the retirement facilities. Because they're good people. And they worked hard as Americans. They pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. And they were good, honest, hard workers. And they did that without God. Tough group to reach. And they're good people. But before God. Well, let me illustrate like this. Doing all things without grumbling, I've griped a lot about ALS the last year and a half. I said to Lisa, why can't the drug pushers get ALS? Why can't the terrorists get it? Why can't the bad people get ALS? She said, we're all bad. Okay. She's always throwing these sermons at me and just shuts me up. Well, as we glance down through there, now, look at that list. Look at this verse. Whoever, that would include most of us, obeys the whole law. I'm not talking about the Constitution. I'm talking about the law of God. But you sin in one area, just one time, you're guilty of breaking all of the law. When you sin one time, when you cheated on that quiz, stole that pencil in the fifth grade, it was like to God, not to us, but to God, it's like you broke it all. One time. Because what we need to realize is God is perfect. He can't have any sins in heaven, and he must punish sin. And any time we think that good people are going to go to heaven because they're good, we're doing two things. We're underestimating his holiness and overestimating our goodness. And at my dad's funeral a couple weeks ago, my dad passed away 2 weeks ago today at about 11:30. And we were with him when that happened. And it was a bittersweet moment. And at his funeral, a lot of wonderful things were said. And he was a neat person. He was Mr. Outreach, evangelistic, service, visiting people all the time. I don't know how many people he's visited in the Woodbine community in his life. But what I said at his funeral was, the best thing you can say about my dad is he was forgiven. All the other good stuff, that's good. That comes because you're forgiven. Everyone can basically be lumped into one of three categories. We've got good moral people. Now, some of you younger people that don't know who that is, if you don't watch those episodes, you can't stay in our country. You've got to know who that is to be an American. Okay, we're not going to do a quiz right now. There's some of them going, who is that? So we've got the good moral person. Then we've got those that are spiritually minded. And that doesn't necessarily mean just Christian, although that would include the good folks here at Pleasant View. But those that are, you know, Jewish, those of other types of faith. This is my friend I met over there in Thailand. Let me take his picture with him. In other words, there are people that have an eternal focus. So we've got good people, we've got spiritually minded, and then we've just got the downright mean and evil. We've got those that are debauched, degraded, demonic, deplorable. I mean, the Hitler-type people, these are the type of people that... that fit just perfectly. In more ways than one. So we've got the all-American, the spiritual, and the heathen. Well, how well have the heathen kept God's law? That's what you've asked. When you see the crack cocaine addict on the street corner, you're looking in the mirror. No, not that you did that. But we have all violated God's laws. Well, see, what we do is we divide it into little sins and big sins. Well, we cheat on tests, but I wouldn't commit armed robbery. I would not go in Coach Span's church and shoot it up. I would not do that. Cheat on tests? Yeah. I might lie regularly, but I would not swear on a Bible in court. That could get you in prison. That's really bad. I did disobey my parents, but I would not commit treason against our country. I did commit treason against my parents, but not against my country. I put people down and cuss a little bit, but I'm against child abuse. Picking on people, my little brother, that's different. I get a little drunk every so often, you know, sitting around watching the game, but I would never get in the car and drink and drive. Use a little marijuana, you know, and, you know, I've got a little cough, so I need a little marijuana, a little medical marijuana. But I'm not a drug dealer. I have used the Lord's name in vain this inappropriately, but I'm not a Satanist. I might have a little envy and jealousy, but I'm not an arsonist. I might be envious of somebody's big mansion, but I would not burn it down. That's rude. I'm kind of bitter. I complain a little bit, but I do, at least I believe in God. I'm just ticked at him all the time. I might have sex with my date, but I would not commit adultery. Big sins don't make us a sinner. Sin makes us a sinner. Whoever obeys the whole law, sins in one area, is guilty of all. I think that's a very important verse to share with people we're trying to keep. To convict them. Not just say, repent, get baptized, join the church, or become a member of the church. That's important, but we got to convict them that they've broken them off. How many murders does one have to commit to be a murderer? What if a guy kills someone, just one, murder somebody? So, Your Honor, it's not like I'm a serial killer. I've only murdered once. If you'll take that analogy right there, multiply it by a million, billion, trillion, that's how God is about our sin. And our sin separates us from God. Let me use another illustration. Hopefully this will be of help. Let's imagine this gulf right here between us and God. Picture it's like the Grand Canyon. And to get through sin, to get past this gulf, to get to God, we've got to leap across. Okay? To get to God, we've got to get across this gulf, and we're going to do it with a long jump competition. Now, here's the three competitors. The best in the world is going to be spiritual, then a pretty good one's going to be all-American, and then a real bad jumper is going to be the heathen. Okay, this is just a little illustration. Let's let the spiritual be represented by Mike Powell. Mike Powell holds the world record for the long jump at 29 feet, 4.5 inches, which means he leaped from about here to that wall. So he was Superman for a couple of seconds there. So he's going to represent the spiritual person, the best. Then secondly, the All-American. Now the All-American, I'm going to select a former student when I was at Lipscomb, Zach Ryder. Zach went on to play for a Christian college. Amen. Wasn't very many days. It was the wrong place to say that, I guess. Zach was an incredible athlete. He jumped a school record 33 feet 8 inches. It's pretty good. So he's going to represent the Andy Mayberry, Opie type person. A good all-American person. Now, to represent the mean, evil person, let's get somebody that's not a great broad jumper, me. I can jump about a yardstick with a good running jump. That child's enjoying this too much. I don't appreciate that one bit. I'm going to represent the evil, okay? So we're lined up at the Grand Canyon. Okay, and Mike Powell's first. Mike leaped 29 feet in his record jump. He hits the runway, jumps 40 feet, breaks his record, and falls 1 mile to his death. Okay, next up is Zach. Zach hits the runway perfectly, leaps, goes 30 feet, breaks the old record, and falls 1 mile to his death. I come up, I get to the edge, I trip and plop all the way down the side, boom, 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 hitting the side of the canyon and fall 1 mile to my death. Now, I had a kid one time in class, I said, all right, if you were God, or if you were, not God, but you were on that side where spiritually God is, and you were looking across at the three competitors and how we did. I said, how did I do compared to the other two? And one kid said, "You did terrible." I said, "We're all dead." From the perspective of God, I didn't do any worse than the other two spiritually. We're all in the same boat. At the cross, the spiritual nice and mean are all on the same level. Socially, we're not. I'm glad I live in the neighborhood I'm in. I'm not surrounded by the evil, but I'm evil myself. I'm not surrounded by the same kind of evil that we really hate. But we have to remember this. Even Superman and Batman have to get baptized. You don't get to heaven being a superhero. One of the great private investigators, police guys, law enforcement guys in America is an atheist. He's all for the American way. And he's for justice. He's an atheist. Just because he's trying to promote justice in our country, which I'm grateful for, that doesn't get you to heaven because we're in this shape. So we've got, I think, present the bad news before the good news. So the good news is this. God did something bad to his own son. He punished his own son and gave him the penalty we were due. We were supposed to get that. And instead, God does two things for us. I think this is very important. This is in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Our sins go to the cross. Almost everybody knows that. But something else very important happens. Christ's perfection goes to us. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. You have to be. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, I know that's our problem. You have to be perfect. But you can't be. So you've got to have somebody do it for you. We have to emphasize to people, they have got to satisfy God's requirements perfectly with no mistakes. You've just showed them they're 0 for 10, so what can they do? That's where you want them to be. What can I do? What must I do to be saved? I really think you can, I'm not saying do this, you can teach people how to get to heaven with really three scriptures. Genesis 3 about the fall and show them what happened to Adam and Eve. Secondly, this one, James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law is guilty. And then thirdly, I think this, in my opinion, this is the most important New Testament verse. Not that the others aren't important, this to me is the queen of all of them. God made Christ, who knew no sin, come sin on our behalf so that we might become the perfection. The Bible says righteous. We might say perfection of God in him. Here's what happens. Here's your sinner. Here's perfection. I get baptized. It flips. Let me ask you this. Am I really perfect? Am I really perfect intrinsically? No. Is Christ really a sinner? Is Christ a sinner? No. We are both declared. We are declared perfect. Jesus was declared a sinner. He's not really a sinner. Now, let me show you how I think we tie baptism on this into this. I hope I've got my Bible here. You didn't have a Bible class. Who's the worst sinner here? Can we use James as an example here? All right, James. I'll be God. You're the lost sinner. And this is not a Bible. This is going to heaven free. This is the free gift of God. James, would you like to go to heaven? You realize that you're lost. Your sins are separated. You realize that Christ is the only one. You have to be perfect through him. Okay. Would you like to accept that? Yes. Yeah. He got baptized right then. That was his baptism. It's faith reaching up. I think when we make baptism the Savior, we've taught heresy. The act of baptism is not our Savior. It's the point in time we're saved. That's not de-elevating baptism. We're saved at the point of our baptism. But if we come across with this water, 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 put them under till they bubble, H2O, that's what we're known for. And I appreciate the fact that our fellowship has restored the proper timing of baptism. But I know in my early days, I don't think I restored the place of it as far as how big. Baptism is just as important as it's always been. But it's the point in time we're saved. It's not our Savior. And I think that's so important for us to get across. We can say you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, become a member of the church, be thou faithful to death, and receive the crown of life. And a person still not realize what a sinner they are. A lot of you are like me. You've grown up in the church. There's one negative of that. And I hate that. I know that doesn't sound like it, but I want everybody to be brought up in the church. But it's so easy to be brought up as good people, like many of us have. And when it's time to be baptized, 13, 14, 15, we kind of skip down the aisle, and we kind of just are, nothing much changed. I just now get the asterisk removed, you know, from beside my name. Our kids, as they grow up, they need to realize, we're glad you're a good kid. We're glad you are coming to church. But you're lost without Christ and perfection. I tell you, those are heavy concepts. That's why I'm not really big on baptizing. Look, and I'm not talking about infant baptism, but when kids are 7, 8, and 9, this is a generic statement. I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm talking to everybody generically. When kids are still falling asleep in church in color, I wonder, are they able to grab? The Bible's an adult book. I'm not saying you're supposed to wait till you're 18 to do that. I'm not saying that. But these are adult concepts. And if a kid, if they're so young and immature, and I don't mean immature for their age, just immature in regards to adults, and they were to die and not be baptized, but they're still safe with God, then why are they being baptized? Just something for us to consider. Now, out of these religions, I want you to notice that 4 out of 5 are just the same. Right, who is this? These are the Jews. How do you get to heaven as a Jew? Keep the commands. Keep the what we would call the Old Testament. Follow the Old Testament. Be good enough by keeping it. Which you would want to ask your Jewish friends, how are you doing at that? Because your Bible says in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things. Who's this? Our Muslim friends. How do they get to heaven? Keeping the laws of their Bible, of the Quran. Who's this? It's the Hindus. Now, they don't believe in heaven. They believe that you want to recycle out of this life, reincarnate, and after you've been through several lives, you're finally ready to join. And kids, the best way I can put it is the Star Wars Force. That's what you join eventually. You lose consciousness of who you are, and you become part of that force. Now, that doesn't sound really exciting to me. I won't even know who I was. I'm part of the energy that runs everything. And then the Buddhist, this is, they believe in the reincarnation, but they want to leave this earth and go into Nirvana. That's not a rock group we listened to in the 60s. Nirvana is not a place of bliss. It's a place of non-existence. You want to go into unconsciousness eternally. Where you escape the pleasures and sufferings of this world and the temptations and go into nothingness. Now, I don't understand the appeal of that. You become a good Buddhist, you won't ever know you live. I don't get that. But all four are based on what? Performance. How good you are. There's only one. There's only one that says, you can't perform it, I'll do it for you. You have struck out 4 times in the World Series. You've made 3 errors. You've dug your team a hole. You've lost. Your team's down 3-0 basically because of you. So they pinch hit for you in the bottom of the ninth, and the pinch hitter knocks a grand slam to win the World Series. Do you get a ring? You didn't do anything to win that series. Do you get a ring? Yeah. Somebody else did it for you, but you still get the ring. Christ is not the home run for us because we couldn't do it. If I stood before God and he asked me, why should I let you into heaven? I'm not going to say, look at my track record, God. There was a guy at church one time, he prayed, Lord, we pray that on that final day that we will have been found good enough to come into your glory. That's not my prayer, God. Let him do that one. I'm not praying that one. God, give me what I deserve. I'm going to pray that he gives me what I don't deserve. Well, I appreciate your attention and the invitation to come out here. And we're going to extend the invitation this time. And I don't know if any of you are ready to be baptized. But I'm sure we can make arrangements for that today. And I hope if you don't need to respond to the invitation physically, you'll every day respond to the invitation in that you cannot earn one second of heaven that's all on Christ. And that what we do for God is not to get to heaven, it's because we're going to heaven. One last quick story, I'll leave you. I know we're about to run out of time. My dad's family was quite large. They had 9 brothers and sisters, and 5 of them are gone. I performed all 5 of those funerals. And after the funeral, you know, you all go over to somebody's house, the church is going to eat big dinner, unlike what we're doing today. But again, I don't want to bring that up again. I'm not dwelling on that anymore. So we're over at my aunt's house. One of my aunts passed away. Her son, who's about 30-something years old, he went, we got to be good so we can see Mama one day. Just couldn't let that one pass. I said, no, we got to be forgiven so we can see her one day. Be good because you're forgiven. You ain't going because you're good. You're going because you're forgiven. Then that should make you good. All right. Stand safe.